Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb takes the scroll. Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing on this teaching as we look into chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. And Father, I pray that you would give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that we need to know what your word is telling us today. We love you, Father, and we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in chapter 5, it continues the scene of the church in heaven. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Let's look at the verses here in chapter 5. John the Apostle says, "And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to even look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." Here the Apostle John sees the Father on the throne. He's holding in his hand a scroll, which is rolled and sealed with seven seals. Many believe this to be the title deed to this world. So the question comes, who holds the title deed to this earth? We read in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed." Well, in reading this text, it suggests what is being handed over to Jesus is the title deed to this world. I mean, after all, he created it, he redeemed it, and it belongs to him. In Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, we read, "Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I answered, 'I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, 'This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth.'" Does that sound familiar? "Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of the scroll." This flying scroll that Zechariah sees is the same scroll we have here in Revelation chapter 5. Now, I want you to keep in mind, God is dealing with the Jewish people during this time, during the 7-year Great Tribulation period. Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans 11, verses 26 to 27, "And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The Deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sin." Hebrews 10:16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Hebrews continues in chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. The old covenant God made with Israel depended on man. That I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments depended on the flesh, and as a result, it failed. Now, it didn't fail because there was something wrong with the Ten Commandments. It didn't fail because there was something wrong with the law that God gave to Moses for the children of Israel. The problem was with man. Here's the biggie. The new covenant depends on the power of God's throne. It depends on Jesus Christ. I mean, this angel is asking a valid question. Who has the right and title to this world? Who can establish justice and righteousness? A strong angel is speaking of an angel with a lot of power. It's about the power needed to make this covenant effective. When you think about it, I mean, it's very clear no man of Adam's lineage has a right to open the book and take charge of the earth. We know that Adam tried and he failed. The one who can open this sealed scroll has to be a redeemer. He has to be a savior of mankind. The only one who can open it is our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I want you to notice John's emotions here. I mean, the guy is overwhelmed by the possibility that there might be no one competent to rule this earth. So one of the elders answers because he had spiritual understanding. Again, this spiritual understanding would further identify the elders symbolically as representing the church. Remember what Jesus said in John 15:15? He said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the believers. Notice the three titles given to our Lord to describe who he is. First, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 to 10, Jacob, who is Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, he was dying. So he called his sons together, and he prophetically gave the scepter, the kingly scepter, to Judah and made Judah the tribe of the kings. The image of the lion speaks of what? Dignity, sovereignty, courage. It speaks of victory. I mean, Jesus is literally the only living Jew who can prove his kingship from the records of genealogy. I mean, the genealogy has been lost for the Jewish people. So it makes it really tough to figure out which tribe they're from. Secondly, the second title, Son of David. I mean, you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It often used this when Jesus was ministering on the earth. Third title, the Root of David. Root of David means Jesus brought David and David's lineage into existence. As far as his humanity is concerned, Jesus had his roots in David. He came through David's lineage out of the tribe of Judah. He was born the Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Conception. But as far as his deity is concerned, as far as him being the Son of God, Jesus is the root of David. What does that mean? It's speaking of Christ from eternity past to eternity future. It's speaking of Jesus being God, bringing David into existence. When John looks to see what's going on, he doesn't see a lion. He sees a lamb. Jesus is called the Lamb at least 28 times in the book of Revelation. The theme of the Lamb is very important in the scriptures. It presents the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. You see, Jesus has the right to rule. He's a fulfillment of the prophecies made in the Old Testament that deal with the future of the world. All those prophecies will be fulfilled at Christ's second coming to this earth. It's at the end of the 7-year Great Tribulation period. At the Battle of Armageddon, Christ is coming to this earth to establish his millennial kingdom, his 1,000-year reign on this earth. The words, as though it had been slain, indicates the redemptive and vicarious substitutionary death of our Lord. The emphasis is on the fact he was violently killed. Jesus was violently killed. The word stood is better translated standing because it speaks of his resurrection. Now we need to understand at this point, here in John chapter 5, Jesus is no longer seated at the right hand of the Father, where he's been for 2,000 years of the church's dispensation. Since Jesus was taken up back into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has been seated at the right hand of the Father doing what? Making intercession for the church. Born-again believers, sitting as our high priest in heaven. Well, he's no longer sitting there. Why? Because the church is now with him. The rapture had taken place. Jesus is now moving in power because the judgment of the Great Tribulation is about to begin on earth. The words in the midst of the throne speak of the fact Jesus is now before the throne. You see, he was the church's intercessor, but now that the church is with him, he is ready to act as the righteous judge. Remember, Jesus said in the gospel that the Father has committed all judgment to him. He will be judging this earth during that 7-year tribulation period, and he will be the judge at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. What are these 7 horns and 7 eyes? Well, 7 horns in scripture speak of complete power. Remember, the number 7 is what? The number of finishing, completion. Christ is omnipotent. He's all powerful. 7 eyes speak of complete knowledge. Christ is omniscient. That means he is all seeing and that he is all knowing. There is nothing that gets past him. He sees everything. Jesus is now moving in the fullness of the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. We know there's not 7 Holy Spirits, there's only 1. 7 being the number of completion means that 7 spirits of God means that he is moving in the complete power of the Creator, Almighty God. He's moving to the throne for the great tribulation to judge the world in righteousness before he reigns in righteousness for 1,000 years. Again, I want to drive this home. Jesus is no longer the church's intercessor. The church is now with him. It means that he can now begin to act as judge to a world that has rejected him and the salvation he has provided for them. Harps speak of praise. The 24 elders, symbolic of the church, act as priests. Now, I want you to understand this. According to God's word, according to the scriptures, only the church, not the angels, not anybody else, only the church is a priesthood of believers in heaven. The new song is a song of redemption. The old song is a song of creation. We sing about our Savior who loves us and gave himself for us. And I want you to catch these words. And redeemed us to God by your blood. Who has Jesus redeemed to God by his blood? Every born again believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus redeemed mankind. He didn't redeem the angels. This is the church with him in heaven before the great tribulation begins. When John says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, he's speaking of a number that is so great, no one can count them. The worship service climaxes with the entire universe praising the Lamb of God and God the Father, who is seated on the throne right now. God's great eternal plan will now be fulfilled. Creation will now be set free from the bondage of sin and death. Now, I know this is a lot to take in, but one day, I believe it's very, very soon, we're going to watch the Lamb break these 7 seals as he puts in motion the events that will lead to his second coming back to this earth to establish his 1,000-year reign. You know what's exciting for us as born-again believers? We will be coming with him. We've been at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The rewards have been handed out. And we are coming with him as kings and priests to reign with him for 1,000 years. Next time, chapter 6, the opening of the 7 seals as judgment begins to fall on planet Earth. Amazing. Father, we do come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for this time that you have given to us. And Father, I pray for all those that are listening to this audio teaching here in the book of Revelation, that by your Spirit you would show them these things, God, and that you would allow them to grasp what is yet before us after the church is removed from this earth. Father, we love you. We give you all the glory that's due your holy name, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.